Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, wash your hands, as you know. It's Friday, so let's begin with something light today. I think it's a needle in a haystack myself, but let's go. It all happened because of discussions that unfolded during the pandemic between a mother and a daughter, and that daughter is Marie, and she's on the line now. Marie, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Okay, you're on WhatsApp, brilliant. So tell us how this story unfolded.
Well, like you say, because of lockdown, I suppose, lots of moments of solitude and thinking on my mother's behalf, and going to her past, living out her past and thinking about lost loves and whatnot. And she kind of has been telling me about somebody she loved and lost, and okay. She would like to get in contact again if at all possible.
The line unfortunately is not great. In the pandemic, you're talking on the phone, so she decided to tell you her life story, and one of the aspects going back many years, because she's 80 very soon, was that it was her first love, and as you say, it was loved and lost. Love and loss. Now, yeah. Maria, does your mother wish to try and find out where that man might be, if he's still alive?
Yeah, she would love to. Yeah, definitely. She'd love to try and get in some form of contact again. Absolutely. I think that's it would just make her day.
Okay,
that's or her week or her month or her year.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's more details, and we'll put a texture on it. And it's a lovely texture that's on it, by the way, Marie. Because we're going to try and get a better line there. But in the meantime, I'm going to go to your mother, Eileen, who's in Castle Island in County Kerry. Eileen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you keeping?
I'm not too bad.
Take us back, Eileen. It's 1968.
It's 1968 when I made a trip home from the United States and holidays.
Okay.
I came towards the end of March, and one evening, this cattle dealer called to my home.
Okay.
It wasn't his first time calling, and I happened to be outside the house. It was at night, like it was bright and whatever, and I threw my eye at the lorry and saw the driver. And I thought to myself, gee, I fancy him.
Okay, the driver. Okay.
The driver.
And Eileen is what age at that stage?
Eileen was about 25, going 26.
Okay. Just back from the States.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had been away for over 8 years more.
And you want to give us more of a location? Is it near Killarney or is it Castle?
I'm in between Killarney and between Castle Island and Killarney. I live in the country.
And that's 1968. We're talking.
And I don't know why this cattle dealer was calling to my father's house.
Okay.
And mother. We were no farmers.
Okay.
We didn't have any cattle. Okay. We just had a cow.
Okay. So.
And when he came out of the house, I happened to be outside, and he said, started to talk to me, and he said, I was all dressed up anyway, and he said, why don't you come to Killarney with us, he said.
Oh, God.
And I said,
the cheeky fecker.
Yeah, I don't know why, he said, would I? And I said, well, it's one way of finding out what of my men behind the wheel.
Okay. So
I decided anyway.
Yeah.
I said I'd go.
Okay.
I said there'd be one way. I fancied the driver.
Good. And do you think, Eileen, I'm thinking of Brooklyn, the movie, you're just back from the States. You're 25 years of age. How long had you been in the United States of America?
Oh, I was in the States for eight years.
Wow. What age were you when you left?
I was very young when I left.
So you came back, and were you wearing American clothes? Had you an American way about you? It's 1968.
Yes, definitely. I had my hair up and whatever. I was the real yank.
You're like Jackie Onassis. Did you have the sunglasses and everything?
I was quite attractive in my day.
Okay, so you fancied... There's a cattle dealer.
I fancied the driver that was driving for the cattle dealer.
You didn't fancy the dealer. You didn't fancy the drover. You fancied the cattle driver.
Yes.
The driver, okay. And what age do we reckon he is, Eileen, as you're looking up at him?
I reckon he was similar to my own age, maybe a year or two, maybe older.
And you want to describe him?
I find it hard now to describe it's 53 years this year.
I know, 50, many years? 63.
53.
Okay, so what happened? You went to... He said to you, did he know that you were back from the States?
Oh, he did, yes.
Oh, he did. So he said, come on, we'll show you a good time in Killarney.
So I headed on to Killarney. I didn't know much about Killarney.
Okay.
I was only in Killarney once at a wedding.
Okay.
Some few years before that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know Killarney. I only knew Castle Island, really.
Yeah.
Before I went to America.
Okay. And are you in the middle? You're sitting between the driver and the
dealer. Yes, I was sitting between the driver and the cattle dealer.
And do you reckon the cattle dealer fancied you as well?
He fancied me.
Oh, my God.
So.
Okay.
I didn't fancy him.
So we're bumping along in the cattle truck.
And we arrived in Killarney.
Okay.
We arrived at the Arbutus Hotel in College Street.
It's still there.
And it's still there.
Yes. The Arbutus Hotel, okay.
Yes. And we sat at a table and she ordered some drinks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be drinking much anyway. No. You always have to keep your head, especially when you have been travelling in America. You always have to make sure you keep your head.
Especially after travelling in a Bedford truck with the dealer and the driver, you in the middle. Anyway, you ordered your baby sham. And what happened?
So we were there and he was chatty away, that cattle dealer.
But you're not interested in him.
The driver was very, very quiet.
Okay.
He didn't say much. Oh my God, what's going to... The next thing anyway, the bar started to close down and people were moved away. And the driver said he had left then. I suppose he was gone to his room sprucing up. They were staying in the hotel.
Oh, were they? Okay.
So... He said to me, he'll be taking you home. And...
Who will? Who's taking you home?
The cattle dealer.
But we don't want him to take you home.
Oh, we don't. No. I didn't want him to take me home.
We don't want the dealer. We want the driver.
I said, I am not going alone, I said, with him. Yeah. Are you coming, I said. Yeah. And he said, no, he has the keys of the lorry already taken. And he's taking you on his own. And I said he won't be taking me on his own because I won't be going. I said I'd walk it first.
Right.
Oh, God, he said, you can't walk it. It's too far. I said I would walk it. He said, you might be attacked. Somebody could attack you. And it kept on. And I said, he went up again and he asked him to leave him. I said, I'd go. If you were coming, I said, but you'd have to come in the truck as well.
Okay, right.
So he kept up and down to him anyway. He was sick, the creature of up and down to him, and he wouldn't give him the keys to bring me home. And he wasn't going to leave him travel in the truck coming home.
Okay. So you're now stuck.
So I'm now stuck. So he said to me, he said, oh, what misfortune. He said, you came at all. Look at the trouble you're in now. He said, you don't want to go home with him alone.
The dealer.
I said, here is my chance. The bar was empty. And I sat back and I looked straight at the bar. And I said, I'm going to go for it now.
Yeah.
I said, I came to Killarney with two men in that lorry.
Yeah.
And I said, I fancied the man behind the wheel.
Brilliant.
And he said, what did you say? And I said it again, but I said it a bit louder.
Yeah.
And he didn't dance the second. He dashed me to say it the third time. And I turned around. He was sitting to my right of me. And I turned and I looked straight at him. And I said, "It's you I fancied," I said. "I don't fancy him."
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, "Oh, my God," he said, "I fancy you too.
Oh, brilliant.
And what are we going to do about it?" And I said, I got a smile on my face and I said, "We'll figure it out."
And what did you...
So he went back up to the room to your man to get the keys again, and no way would he give them.
Okay.
And I said, when he came down, I said, "Are you staying in that room with him?" And he said, "No, I have my own room next door." I said, "I'll go up," I said, "and I'll stay in the room with you till morning, and I can come home some more."
So
up I went.
Yeah.
And we were in the corridor, and he asked to begin for the keys, and he told him,
"Dave,
and I spoke up then and I said, "Forget about his keys," I said, "and come on in here to the room."
Brilliant.
And that's how our romance started.
Ah, magic.
And we had a beautiful romance.
Ah.
And he was a real gentleman.
Ah.
And he finally gave him the keys in the morning.
Okay.
About half five in the morning to take me home.
Okay.
And we pulled up outside our own home, and we were there then for another half an hour, three quarters of an hour, hugging and kissing.
Ah, lovely.
As usual.
Lovely, yeah.
And he was down every week for several weeks after that. Every week he was down in Kerry.
Because you reckon he was from up around Offaly?
I reckon he was from Offaly.
Okay. All right.
And I'm...
Now, did the dealer know...
The next thing then...
Yes.
He stopped coming.
Ah.
And I thought maybe he was sick.
Yeah.
Or something happened.
Well, it's 1968. There's no mobile phones. Very few phones.
We had no phone, no landline, nowhere.
Okay.
And I hadn't taken his address or anything.
Yeah, of course.
Or he had my address, but he knew exactly where the house was.
Yeah, of course he did.
And about... 3 weeks, the third week,
right.
He hadn't come, and I said, "Oh, maybe he's after forgetting about me." I would have preferred that as to what happened after.
Okay.
So, the third week, this knock came to the door at night.
Right.
And in pops my cattle dealer.
The dealer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he chatted with my father and mother, obviously they knew him.
Yeah.
He had been called there before. I don't know why he was calling to them. I haven't a clue. And I mentioned nothing about my man behind the wheel.
Yeah.
And when he was leaving, he asked me, he said, "You might walk out as far as the car would be."
Right.
So I did. And he opened the door of the driver's, of the passenger seat, and he went and he sat in the driver's seat, and I just held the door. I didn't sit in at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "I have very sad news for you.
Right.
You won't be seeing him anymore." And I said, "Why?"
Yeah.
"Why," I said, "won't I be seeing him anymore?" And he said, "He's dead and buried."
Oh my God.
I said, "What? You liar," I said, "he's not dead." And I kept shouting back at him. I said, "You're trying to break us up." I said, "He's not dead." And after a while, then I said to him, I said, "And what did he die of?" And he said, "He got killed in a road traffic accident."
Right.
Oh, my God, my legs were going from under, but I still held out, and I said, "I still don't believe you." And he kept saying that he was dead and that he had been killed and whatever. And I said, "If I had known that, I would have sent flowers."
Yeah.
And he said, "Don't worry about that," he said. "I'll get the flowers," he said, "for him, and don't bother with the money," he said. "I'll pay for them, and I'll put your name on them, and I'll put them on his grave." And I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
And I closed the door of his car, and I walked in home. And my father was all the time looking and listening to the radio and listening to the television. We had a television before anyone.
Yeah.
Ever had, before I ever went to the United States, we had television. I said we had it in 59 anyway. And our house was a great house for ramblers.
Yeah.
And I asked my father, I said, "Well, you'd be listening to the news there. We were always hush-hush if the news was on." And I said, did you hear that any deaths coming out and somebody was killed? And he said, no. I told him my story, but he was after telling me. Yeah. And they said, there's no way he'd tell you a story like that. It'd be lies. He'd never do that. Well, I said, I don't believe it. I said, but maybe it happened. Never thinking what I should have done. In hindsight, just to the guards, I should have gone in Castle Island. And I knew his name then, the driver and all. Yeah. And the cattle dealer's name.
Yeah.
And I should have gone to the guards to check it out, but I didn't. So I didn't go out then for a couple of months, I suppose.
You were upset.
I was so upset. And then I went on the 15th of August of 1968.
Mm-hmm.
I went with a Barrett couple to the Glen Eagle in Killarney.
Okay.
And there was a band playing.
Yeah, big day, isn't it? The 15th of August.
Yes. Yeah. And we were sitting at a table and this fellow crossed the room and asked me how to dance, and he was a fabulous dancer, and I was a good dancer myself.
Yeah.
And we danced all night. He had been on the floor all night dancing.
Right.
And at the end of the night, he asked me, could he see me again?
Yeah.
And I said, if you want to see me, I asked him where he was from, and he was from the Killarney area.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you'll have a long ways to go, and I doubt you will be able to find it.
Okay.
It was only a village.
Where you were from, okay.
A village. There was a dance hall there or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I knew I'd be going there because I had two older men that used to call to our house on a Sunday evening, and they had said to me, you'll have to get over it and you'll have to start going out.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was going with them, and they were all into music as well and dancing and whatever. And they used to dance in competitions, waltzing competitions and whatever. So I knew I was going to go. I had promised them that I would go on the Sunday night. And never thinking that my man in Killarney, that I met in the Glen Eagle, would show up. He found the place anyway, but I wasn't in the dance hall. I was in a pub, but in the kitchen we were sitting alongside the fire.
Okay.
And then he popped.
This is your new suitor?
This was my new suitor.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that he even found the place. And we went down to the hall for a while, and we had a few dances there. And I started going out with him.
Right, okay.
And
had you still a little
then
grow?
Then I didn't know, you see, I was going to go back to the States.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a member of my family which was abroad as well, which was coming home towards the end of the year, the fall of the year, getting married. And I said, God, I can't go back now. I'll have to wait for that. Because back then it was very expensive to
come home. Yeah.
Not like they're running over and back now for shopping weekends over to New York.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I can't go back now. Come back again. So I hung on anyway. So I said, coming up November, November and December, then I said, I'd have to make up my mind. I have to return to the United States because I still hadn't become an American citizen, which I was supposed to be starting. And he suggested, no, that we get married. So we set a date.
And was that a whirlwind romance, Eileen?
A whirlwind romance.
Yeah, in a nice way, yeah.
In a nice way.
Yeah.
And he was a lovely fella. And my parents were mad about him.
Ah, oh, great.
And
okay.
Then.
So you set a date.
We set a date.
To get married in early 1969.
In early 69.
Okay.
So at the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
We were going down the road, just down from our own house.
Mm-hmm.
And took the turn.
Yeah.
And on the street in the by road.
God.
Coming towards us was the lorry. And I roared, lay me out. He didn't get it all.
This was the cattle lorry?
This was the cattle lorry coming.
Okay.
after all these months. And I said to my husband, the Lord of Mercy, and I said, pull over, I said, park down there. Yeah. And I stood in the road, and off comes the truck.
Yeah.
And he rolls down the window, and his eyes lit up that I was still around.
And he was still around.
He was delighted. He was alive.
He was alive.
He was alive. And I had my hands going. And I said, this is the biggest miracle that has ever taken place, I said. You're back from the dead, I said. And you're after resurrecting, I said, from the grave. My God. And his face dropped and he said, why are you talking to me like that? And I went over towards the door of the lorry to him, and I said, I've been mourning you, I said, for months. I said, he came, I didn't tell you what I called him. He came to my house, I said,
yeah.
And told me, I said, that you were dead.
Oh, God.
And that you were killed yeah. in a road traffic accident. And he said, what? And he called him all the names.
Yeah,
he said he
yeah.
was so jealous of us.
Yeah.
He tried everything to break us up. Everything. And he finally succeeded. And I said, and I'm getting married, I said, in a couple of days.
Mm.
And he was heartbroken. There was tears in his eyes. And he asked me certain questions. And I told him, yes.
Yeah.
And I can't say what he asked me now because I don't want anyone ringing in, making false tales.
Yeah, okay.
And what we used to talk about.
Okay, so that'll be our little code word. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay. If we do find us.
If we do find him.
Yeah. So you told him you're getting married.
I said, I'm getting married in a couple of days. Obviously, the cattle dealer was keeping tracks on me around Castle Island and getting his information from somebody.
Yeah.
And he decided he'd leave him on down to try and break up my marriage, the fellow I was marrying,
mm-hmm.
and destroy him to see which one I was going to choose. I mean, I couldn't cancel my wedding. I would have scandalized my parents.
Yeah.
And I was in love with the fellow I was marrying as well.
Okay.
So I was in love with two men.
Fantastic.
The day I got married. But my marriage worked.
Yeah, of course, of course. And then the morning, and he drove off, did he, Eileen?
He had no choice. The crazy runny drive off, and I was heartbroken.
And your husband-to-be sitting in the car.
Yeah.
And on the morning you got married a few days later, did you think of him?
Yeah. I would have married the two of them. I would have married the two of them if I could.
Oh, God. You're in love with the both of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know I can't get him out of my head. And I would love to speak with him.
Mm.
And hope that he got on all right and that maybe
life,
he got married and he deserved happiness.
Yeah.
And I'm not out to break up his marriage married.
No.
I just would like to talk with him
yeah.
or see him. And I've, no matter where he is, this is my son says he will take me to see him.
Yeah.
When this
just,
over.
I don't want his name, Eileen, but did you have a little pet name for each other? What did you call each other?
Oh, sweetheart and all.
Sweetheart, okay. And you got married, and you to one of the two men you loved.
Yes.
Okay. And Eileen, can I ask you? Did your husband know about the other chap?
He didn't. I hadn't spoken. I kept it all hidden. As a matter of fact, some of my family didn't even know. I kept it all hidden to myself.
And a painty came out in the pandemic when you start having these long telephone conversations with your daughter.
It often came out before the pandemic. I often thought of him, but I was trying to think of his name. I'd have to get hypnosis to try and get their name.
Yeah, well, we're bad, but there's enough detail there now. And you, as you say, you were happily married for how many years then, and your husband?
45.
And did you think about him a lot? Your sweetheart, as we call him.
Oh, yeah.
You did, okay.
Yeah.
And what does be going through your head, Eileen?
Wondering what happened with him.
Yeah. And the what ifs?
I wonder what ifs is right.
Yeah.
And he was a real gentleman.
Okay. And you just want to talk to him on the phone, and how did you get on with your life? Because as you say, if you're coming up to 80, which is a good age.
Well, I'm a bit off it, yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm a bit short of it, yes.
Oh, well, okay.
I have another year and a half. Yeah,
okay,
well,
you're a long way. You're a long way away. And so he'd be around the same age, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes, something around that. He'd be around the 80 mark, maybe.
Okay. And do you remember when you said, had you ever had that feeling before, even when you were in America, and you were now 25, you came back to Castle Island, you've been in America, what, 7 or 8 years?
8 years.
8 years. So you went when you were 16, 17.
Yeah.
And had you ever had that feeling before, Eileen, when of feeling so attracted to somebody instantly?
Oh, God, yes. I had quite a few romances.
Okay. Calling at WNYC Radio, WBUR Radio in Washington, calling Best Boston Public Radio, copy, please copy. How many men are we looking for now, Eileen?
I'm not looking for anybody else. I'm just looking for my man that I think is from Offaly.
Okay, and there's a fella in Baltimore, he was called Joe, and he's now president. He's probably... Anyway, you came back.
I lived in Baltimore one time.
Oh, good luck. Jill Biden. Joe. Okay, so I'm just baffled. I didn't, which I understand. I'll ask you to think about this over the break. That you are in a happy marriage. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I was happy,
With the man you love. Yet you were thinking of another man. And
yes.
I'm just wondering... To try and describe how you accommodate, it can be done, but how you accommodate both these feelings. And I'll come back to you after this break. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe at RTE.ie. And it was Marie who contacted us first. You've been listening to Eileen before the break. Eileen would like to try and establish by phone or whatever in these times contact with a man she met and fell in love with in 1968. He was the driver of a cattle truck. There was a cattle dealer involved. Both of them fancied our Eileen, who was just back from America, age 25, the spit of Jackie Onassis with her beautiful dresses and her sunglasses. And then the cattle dealer. This is straight out of John B. Keane. The cattle dealer landed up one night and said to Eileen, you won't be seeing the driver again. He's been killed in a car crash. And Eileen mourned him and then accidentally met him 2 days before she was to get married to the man who became obviously her husband. And Marie, that is your father we're talking about, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And how did you, as during the phone calls in the last few months as this story unfolded, what's going through your head, Marie?
I don't know, really. I mean, she's going to have met plenty of fellas, according to her own confessions, before she got married. but I suppose it's quite heartbreaking, I think. It's quite sad.
It's sad,
you know, especially considering the involvement in somebody trying to pull them apart, you know. They met, they fell in love, and then somebody's putting poison in there and trying to destroy it. I'm quite glad, in a funny sort of way. don't know where I'd be otherwise, but at the same time, you know, it's just a heartbreaking tale.
Okay. And I know she has thought of other ways of trying to contact him. She wanted to put an ad in the newspapers. It was awfully that he was living in 1968.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure where to turn to be honest.
Yeah.
So that, you know, enough people would see it or he might see it. It's a difficult one, and you can't just kind of put a ad on the national news looking for this man.
Yeah, but it's a needle, because for obvious reasons we can't give out the man's name. He said there's every good chance he's still alive in the Ireland of today, thankfully. In the late 70s, is still a young age. Eileen, when he didn't contact you for the few weeks, You with me? So we're
yes.
You stayed with him in the. Or you stayed together in the Arbutus.
Yes.
And you saw him every weekend for a while.
I saw him every week when he was down in Kerry for the fairs.
For the fair, and then he stopped coming.
He stopped coming, yeah.
And what do you think happened?
When he stopped, I thought maybe he was sick, or maybe he didn't fancy me anymore.
Yeah.
I would have preferred that, rather than to hear that he was after being killed.
Yeah, I know. But I wonder, did you ever think that the cattle dealer might have said to him, well, you're not doing the run to Killarney and Castle Island anymore? Because
well,
he was...
That's what happened.
He kept him away from you.
He kept him away from me.
And he could have also, the cattle dealer could have said to your man, your sweetheart, he could have said to him, by the way, Eileen's father, who's a friend of mine, has told me you're not to darken the door again. She's gone back to America.
No, because he hadn't come to the house anymore.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm just wondering, was the cattle dealer involved on both ends in terms of...
Well, he obviously was involved.
Okay. Now, Eileen, I was asking about that. Your day-to-day... No, you get on with your day-to-day life. You've one child, obviously, Marie, because she's the woman who contacted us.
Yes, I have a son as well.
Son as well, okay. And you're getting on with your day-to-day life, which is busy.
Yes.
And what are you thinking about your sweetheart? You love your husband, I know that.
Yeah.
But what are you thinking about the other man you love?
I'm just hoping that he had a happy life.
Yeah.
And hope maybe that he met somebody and got married and settled down. I would like to know that. I'm not out to break up his marriage.
I know that. But I know what I'm. I'll put it another way, Alan. Are you consumed by, wrong word, but are you full of regrets? Same word, another way.
Well,
do you have regrets?
I have, yes. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah. And what are those regrets?
My regrets... I think I would have married him if we were still together, if I had still been seeing him.
Okay. But is life, like, there's been songs written about that dilemma. There's been plays written. Shakespeare wrote about it, that dilemma.
Yeah. He can write another one.
John B. Keane wrote about it, Nearer to Home.
He wrote about the field.
Nearer to the field and Sive and yeah. And when did your husband pass, Eileen?
His past was about 7 years.
7 years, okay. Marie, do you want to come in now? I mean, I don't want to ask. Well, what's your sense? Is it still sadness, Marie, when you hear this, even though you love your dad, of course, and your mom loves your dad as well, obviously.
Aye. No, of course there is. Yeah. I mean, we all live our lives and we're all going to have some regrets, especially when things are taken out of our hands like that, I think.
Yeah.
She felt her hands were tied and she had to marry the man that she committed to. And if you're kind of torn between two loves, you can't look ahead and look at the future and see what's coming. You have to make the decision with what you've got. And back in that time, the pull out of a wedding and getting married would have been a big deal in a small town for a young person. I mean, she was only in her 20s.
Yeah.
We're a bit more assertive nowadays, I suppose.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, but I can see that it would have been virtually impossible for her to call it off, you know.
And Eileen, do you remember those few days when you met him and those words, and you said you won't reveal what the exact wording because only he will know what you two of you said. But as you say, you now, and I think you felt it at the time, I would marry the cattle driver, as we're calling your sweetheart.
Yeah.
Were you tormented for the few days, or did you decide immediately, no, I'd have to get married?
I'm sure I had no choice. Only to get married, I would scandalise my parents.
But you had a choice, Eileen.
I had everything booked.
Yeah, okay. I know.
And all the guests, I know where to notify anyone, no phone,
yeah, of course,
no nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just another... Stay with us for a sec, Eileen Marie, because I wanted another love story after coming in. It's Aisling. Aisling, good afternoon. You there, Aisling?
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. And on WhatsApp again.
I am.
Great.
I'm here.
Okay. Where did this love story begin?
Ballyferriter in Dingle, County Kerry.
Oh, it's all Kerry today. As the romantic part of the most romantic part of the world. Cowes and Brandon Creek and Ballyduff and Ballyferriter and on into Dingle. And then back towards Tralee and Killarney and Castle Island. Okay, it must be something in the Kerry air. What happened, Aisling?
Well, I was gracing a local pub with my mom and my stepdad, as you do.
Yeah.
And I looked at this thing on the door of Circe's pub saying Russians playing music. And I was going, that's so weird. Like, why would there be Russians in Ballyferriter? Okay. Playing music. And so I went in anyway, and one of them was playing music, his name's Seva, and then there was another gent there as well,
mm-hmm.
called Sergey.
Sergey,
and he was super romantic and kind, and I thought he was very strange because he was very forthcoming. You know, it's like, I was like, I really like you, I think we should get to know each other better and all this, and even learned how to say I think you're beautiful in Irish, you know, because he was learning Irish while he was in Ballyferriter. That was the reason for him being there.
For you, was it the same effect that Eileen had with the cattle driver, that she just fancied him and fell in love almost at first sight? Was it like that
maybe? No, I was. It wasn't like that. No. I think it was a bit like that for him.
Okay.
But for me, I was a bit like, well, I'm a bit more, I don't know, I'm not very romantic naturally myself.
Okay.
Believe it or not, he's the romantic one. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. And then, but he was so lovely. I actually had to give him a go. And then like 2 weeks later, we were just like teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You weren't teenagers. What age were you?
No, God, no, we weren't, no. I was 28 at the time,
young.
And he was 29.
Yeah, you're young, I meant.
Yeah.
So where did Sergey, this is 2:15, where did Sergey go?
Where did he go?
Yeah.
Well, he went back to Moscow for a while.
Okay.
And then he came back to Ireland again to see me, and then it was just a case of back and forth continuously for the last 5 years.
So you were an item by... How soon after meeting?
We were an item before I was even told we were an item, apparently.
Okay.
he was just like, I was like, so can I like see other people or what? And he was just like, why would you see other people? We're like together now. And I was like, okay. Well, in Ireland, you kind of have to inform us, you know.
Okay.
Not the way in Russia. If you kiss in Russia, you're in love, you know, but that's not how it works in Ireland, obviously.
No,
yeah.
No. And, so Sergey goes back, but you were at this stage you were an item. You were a couple.
Yes, we were.
And how were you keeping in touch then for the famous Russian Ballyferriter connection? The distance.
We were just on like Viber predominantly then, and. Yeah. Yeah, it was mainly just Viber at that time. You know, we were messaging and talking all the time.
Okay.
And
so then...
Yeah,
So this time last year, in fact, this day last year, in comes the lockdown, in comes the pandemic. So where were we then?
So I was in Moscow because for the last couple of years, thankfully we both work from home. So we're both very mobile. So we spend like 3 months in Moscow and then 3 months in Ireland and 3 months in Moscow and so on and so forth. So I was in Moscow, as is the schedule for January, February, and March, because it's actually more pleasant in Moscow at that time of the year, believe it or not.
Okay.
And so I just got home on the day that the schools closed. And I was like, this is mad. Like, what is going on in the world at all? And 2 days later, the border with Russia closed its borders and we closed ours, and they haven't reopened since.
So what did you, had you set a date for the wedding at this stage?
Oh, yeah. We had a number of dates because we wanted to do the religious part in Ireland and the legal part in Moscow.
Okay.
But sure, we had to postpone that like 4 times.
Wow.
Maybe more.
And And was that putting a strain on your relationship? Like, was it make or break in terms of the distance and the pandemic? And
no, I don't think it wasn't really make or break for us, because we knew, like, if you just read a basic history book, you'll know something's going to go wrong at some stage when it comes to, you know, Europe and Russia. So I just kind of went, okay, we have to be prepared for something going wrong at some stage. Let's get this legalized as fast as possible.
Okay.
But because some technical difficulties, we had wanted to do it not this February, but the last February.
Okay.
But we couldn't. So yeah, no. But it didn't put us like, we never really at any point questioned the relationship.
Okay. How long were you apart then?
Like almost a year.
You were a year.
Up until almost a year. Up until Thursday the 25th of February. So around the 18th of March to the 25th of February 2021.
So you were apart for a full year?
Yeah, basically.
And how did you know you still wanted to marry him and vice versa?
Because he's my best friend.
Okay.
And I'm his. And we make each other laugh. Okay. A lot. So, you know, we're mad about each other. There's just, there's nobody else that we, like, I couldn't replace him with anyone else, ever.
Mm. But did you, so what happened on February 25th after a year of not seeing each other?
Ah, well, there's a bit of a backstory to this.
Okay.
So, you know, when the AstraZeneca vaccine business fell through or whatever. I don't know. We had lots of theories as to what happened to the AstraZeneca vaccines. But anyway, I had some kind of a miniature stroke practically. I was crying and everything on the phone to Sergey, and I was like, Sergey, we can't keep doing this. This is actually getting ridiculous, because we had held on so tight, you know, thinking, okay, yes, well, you know, this is a pandemic and there are so many people getting sick. We don't really have anything to complain about.
Okay.
You know, we're both healthy. We're both reasonably happy. And then at this point I just broke and I was like, well, something has to give here. Something has to give, because I don't think we can continue like this, even though I did think we could continue like that, really. But I just didn't want to. And I was just having some kind of a girly PMT stroke, to be honest with you. Anyway, so I was talking to Sergey about it either. And we decided, look, we're both very intelligent people. We've managed to make this work for 5 years now through some really difficult times, you know, personally between the two of us already. So if we can do that, we make a long distance relationship work. We can make this work. Okay. So I kind of came up with the idea that, hey, why don't we just maybe go to a country that we can both actually legally get to and get married there? We found a loophole. So we went, we were like, okay, maybe we'll get married in Greece, and maybe we'll get married in Cyprus. And then we thought Turkey. And then we went, no, that won't work. Okay, we'll go Greece. Cyprus, Turkey, Greece, Cyprus, Turkey, Greece, Cyprus. Okay, so we just kept trying to find ways to get married. Then eventually Sergey seemed to be looking at the map one day. He goes, what's that green dot there just kind of next to Europe? And it was like, oh, Montenegro. We've been to Montenegro before. It's called Chernogoria in Russian, by the way. And it is stunning. Like, it is really probably the most beautiful place in Europe, outside of Ireland, of course, and West Kerry in particular.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, but we just decided, okay, whatever. So I just kind of jumped the gun completely, messaged some random woman called Oksana and went, look, we want to get married. Can you help us? And she was like, yeah, no problem. When do you want to get married? And I was like,
no.
Yesterday.
Yes, okay.
And she was like, okay, well, I can't do that for you, but maybe can you give me like a date when you can actually get her maybe? And I went, okay, the 31st of March, grand. So it was supposed to be the 31st of March initially. But when we got here, we got the opportunity to actually bring, you know, to do it faster. So we kind of jumped at the opportunity because, as luck would have it, Montenegro's now gone into a huge lockdown and they've stopped doing weddings. So we only just about got married by the skin of our teeth.
And was the wedding outdoors in Montenegro?
It was outdoors, okay, yeah. So they weren't allowed to hold them indoors. No, they're being...
But I'm fascinated, Aisling. I'm fascinated by that conversation. Having not seen each other for a year, and you're saying to Sergey, I love you, you love me, best friend. And we're two intelligent people. But were either of you saying, listen, you see, I said this to you before, but you, like, were you saying, well, if we can't come up with an idea, we're going to have to not see each other for another year?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll put it this way, Joe, we're both very stubborn people. If there is a will, there's a way, and we'd never let that get in our way.
Okay.
Ever. That wasn't an option for us.
So when did you get married?
We got married on Monday, the 2nd of March.
And where are you now?
I'm still in Montenegro.
And when can you come home? Where's home going to be? Moscow or Ballyfair? Where is it going to be?
Well, like, I would always, in my heart, want to be in Lisbol, which is just a village outside of Dingle, where I'm from. But realistically, like, Ireland has become, I think, a bit too difficult for young people to live in. Like, there's no way we can actually get our own home or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be Moscow for a while, and I probably won't be able to come home until Christmas, I'd say.
Yeah. And so, you like Moscow, joys. And do both of you have work in Moscow, or in terms of a livelihood?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, we both work from home on our computers. So, you know, it makes no difference where in the world we are. We could be in Timbuktu and we can still work.
Okay. And how's Sergey's Irish at this stage?
Well, the Irish lessons kind of didn't. He got a bit lazy after he met
some random girl. He got a bit tongue-tied, did he, when he met? He got a bit tongue-tied.
Yeah, he did. Well, he's never tongue-tied. That's one thing really.
Can you speak Russian?
Нет. Okay. Not really. Yeah. I speak enough to get by. I can buy four of anything.
Okay. Yeah. And do you like Moscow?
Oh, I love Moscow. Moscow's awesome. In fairness, it's really cool. Yeah, no, it is. It, like, you kind of think it's going to be so different, but honestly, it's not. Mm. Everywhere. Do you know, it really isn't like Moscow, Moskowitz, I'm probably saying that wrong. We're all kind of the same at the end of the day, to be honest. Mm. We're all just trying to get by, you know.
Yeah. And what would Sergey come live in Ireland if that became an option? Given that
if we can buy a home in Ireland at some stage, Lacuna Day, we'll both, like, that's where I'd always come home at some stage. I always will.
It's an incredible love story. And Sergey obviously subsequently revealed to you that when I saw you first in that pub, it was love at first sight for me. Am I putting?
I don't know what he say that now,
Where is he? Get in here.
He's here. Do you want to ask him?
I will. Yes. Why not?
Go on.
After the break, for the day that's in it. Yeah, you can
Go on.
You can. You can tutor him there. Back after the break.
I can't.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
It was Eileen's daughter who first contacted us during the pandemic. Eileen's in the UK. Mary's in the UK. Eileen's in Castle Island, where she was from originally. She's now in her late 70s. And Marie wanted to tell the story of the story that her mother told her during the pandemic of her life and going to America when she was 16, 17, coming back to Kerry when she's 25, falling in love, head over heels in love with a man who drove a cattle truck. That didn't work out for various nefarious reasons. Nothing to do with Eileen or the cattle driver, more to do with the cattle dealer. And Eileen was saying to her daughter, I'd love to find out whatever happened to that man. He'd be in his late 70s now. Both of them were 25. And then Aisling, who was also from Kerry, is telling us a story about her meeting a chap called Sergey Ampilova, in a pub in Kerry. He was learning Irish and they were torn apart by the pandemic. But in a phone conversation recently, they said, this is make or break. We're going to get married. We're two intelligent people. And they got married last week in Montenegro. And that's now Montenegro shut down. Is Sergey there? Sergey? Hello, Sergey.
Hi there.
Conas a tattoo, Sergey.
Tanagopra.
Sergey, when you first saw Aisling in the pub, in many years ago, in 2015. Was it love at first sight, Sergei?
Sure, it was a love from the first sight.
Brilliant.
Well, see a pretty girl, grab a pretty girl.
Wow. And where would you prefer to live, Sergei? Kerry or Moscow or just whatever Aisling is?
You see, Kerry is pretty, the most beautiful, picturesque place in the whole world.
Yeah.
But in Moscow, we have good central heating.
Okay.
There's no need to wear four or five jumpers when you're inside your own house.
And you don't.
So I'm still not quite sure.
And you don't have to worry about leaving on the immersion, and the central
heating,
the central heating all the time. And what brought you to Kerry in the first place, Sergei?
Well, as I have mentioned, lessons of Irish, sort of practice. The problem is that when we came, me and my friend, who's a great musician, it turned out that the weather wasn't nice, but whiskey was very nice. So out of the two planned weeks of studying, I think we hardly spent actually 2 days at lessons.
Yeah. And when did you realize that you would like to spend the rest of your life with Aisling, Sergei?
Good question. At some stage during the relationship.
Okay.
I can't be saying that I took a look at the girl and from the first sight I decided I want to spend my whole life with her.
Right.
Well, we didn't know each other well. But yeah. Over time it turned out that we, let's say, can tolerate each other.
Yeah. And you get on well and you're... I've been sent a photograph of the two of you in Montenegro. I don't think I've seen anything as romantic since... Grace Kelly married Princess Rainier of Monaco in 1968 or whatever. It's a beautiful photograph and a beautiful location and a beautiful couple. Especially your bride.
Oh, thank you so much.
Especially your bride, Sergei. Sergei, we hope you'll come back. How is Russia managing during the pandemic, Sergei? Are you confined to your apartment or...
Surprisingly well, it was pretty the same as in Ireland.
Okay.
You can't travel more than certain distance from your house. Shops were like temporarily closed, then they were open, then everyone should be wearing a mask. Well, pretty the same.
Okay.
Except for, surprisingly, nowadays the restrictions are not as tight as in Ireland at all.
Yeah,
meaning restaurants are open, pubs are open, which is strange.
Okay, the pubs are open in Moscow.
Yes, yeah. But the situation seems to be pretty stable and the infection rate seems to be going down.
Okay, and is the vaccine, the Sputnik vaccine, is that widely available, Sergei?
Honestly speaking, I have no idea because, the vaccination of people have started only recently. And as you know, just about 2 weeks ago or about that, okay. I had actually two pack in one day to get the extra super fast COVID test to book the flight, to confuse the month of the flight, to change the tickets.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe now it's like full speed ahead and everyone is getting vaccinated. Honestly speaking, I didn't clarify it yet.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Sergei, I wish you and Aisling, I'll speak to Aisling in a sec to say goodbye, but I wish you and Aisling many, many years of happiness and good health, sláinte, to you both. Thank you, Sergei. Aisling, you're going to head back to Moscow when, Aisling? Aisling, come back on.
When are we going back to Moscow? I think maybe May.
Are you going to stay in Montenegro?
Yeah, well, you see, there, like all things in our life, there are some legal matters that need to be dealt with before I have the opportunity of going over there, yeah.
Okay, okay. Well, I wish you many years of health and happiness in an incredible trans-European relationship long may it continue.
You.
When have you last seen your parents? Did anyone get out for the wedding?
Oh no! It was just me and himself, and our wedding planner Roxana from what is it, events in Montenegro. She's brilliant.
Okay.
But no, there were no parents. I last saw my parents when I left Ireland. I actually haven't seen my mom in ages because of the, you know, the lockdown that's been in place.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't really seen her since Christmas, actually, okay. Which is ridiculous.
I hope, as you say, I love you, Mom.
I love your dad.
And they're back, where are they? Are they in Lisbon?
My mom is in Ventry and my dad is in Tralee.
Okay. And you love them. And yeah. Have you siblings as well, Aisling? Have you brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a few. I have Elaine, my wonderful maid of honour who couldn't be there, and my bridesmaid Louise, and my brother Niall as well, who just had a baby.
Congratulations.
Just last week, yeah. Okay. So we've got loads of nice news, thank God.
Okay.
Now, we've Aisling, been very lucky.
Oh, that's good. And Aisling, I see in your message you say the one reason why you could work from Moscow at home is that you gave up your job to become a tarot card reader.
I know, yeah, it's an alternative, but yes, that's my job. And it gives me the life that I love. I have the best life ever.
So you've a set of tarot cards?
Yes.
You got them with you?
I do.
Okay. Could you read them for Eileen if I let you talk to Eileen after the break?
I can do, would it be live or?
Yeah, well, it can only be good news now.
Okay, well, I can't really do that.
Okay. Well,
maybe we should keep it light today, Joe.
Okay. Why? Because tarot card readers do deliver bad news, do they?
We do. Sometimes we have to, yeah. And it's unfortunate. God. It depends on the level of bad news it is, though. Like anyone who tells you you're going to die or anything like that, the hell away from them.
Absolutely. But I thought it was to do with the vibe as well. And I was just wondering, everyone listening anyway is getting incredible off you and Sergey, but also an incredibly warm feeling and vibe off Eileen. We'll talk to Eileen again after the break. Stay with us, Aisling. Stay with us. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
But I did read it, actually, because we're all told to read it recently, that there's a new RT book, it's the Bible of journalistic standards. And it did, I remember reading this, it says you are not allowed use hypnosis on air. Now, as far as I know, I've never used it, but the reading is you are not allowed to be hypnotised on air. And somebody has just told me tarot card reading and things like that will come into the same category. Eileen.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm listening to tarot.
Did you ever get your fortune told?
No.
Do you believe in that stuff?
Oh, I do, and I believe in the spirit world as well.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's so many, we still haven't found your awfully driver, your sweetheart from 55 years ago. But people want you to stay on. But one of the things they want you to do, first of all, Eileen, is pick one of these.
Well, just in case. Yes, okay. Maybe it's not awfully. It could be some other county.
Oh, God. The program's nearly over. You're changing your tune.
No, but you'll be heard in other counties as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, okay. Now, Eileen, people are ringing in because you actually used the phrase, you were torn, you were in love with two men. You would have married both of them on the day.
I would, yeah.
Gone up the aisle with one of them on either arm.
Yeah.
Which song do you want? Torn Between Two Lovers, Vera Lynn, We'll Meet Again, Adele, Someone Like You. These are all suggestions from our listeners, Lionel Richie, Stuck on You, Garth Brooks, Unanswered Prayers, and Dan Fogelberg, Same Old Lang Syne. Which one do you want, Eileen? Which one would best describe the situation you're in?
What did you say the first one was?
Torn Between Two Lovers.
I think that was the one.
Do you think so? Why? Here it is, Eileen.
Yeah.
There are times when a woman has to say what's on her mind, even though she knows how much it's gonna hurt. Before I say another word, let me tell you I love you, that
me hold you close and say these words as gently as I can. There's been another man that I've needed and I've loved, but that doesn't mean I love you less. And he knows he can't possess me, and he knows he never will. There's just this empty place inside of me that only he can fill. Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool, loving both of you is breaking all the rules. Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool, mustn't think you failed me just because there's someone else. You were the first real love I ever had, and all the things I ever said, I swear they still are true. For no one else can have the part of me I gave to you. Turned and walked away, but with everything I feel inside, I'm asking you to stay. Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool, loving both of you is breaking all the rules.
What did you think of the lyrics of that song, Eileen?
It's quite nice.
Yeah. I couldn't really blame you if you turned and walked away. Just that epic, can I just bring you back momentarily, but you, I know you don't want to tell me everything that was said, but when you're driving a couple of days before you're due to get married to the man who did become your husband, and you're in his car, and you see the truck, the lorry coming around the corner, and you get a fright, and you realise it's the man driving it who you were told by that awful man, the cattle
evil,
dealer.
That evil man,
okay. That he was dead, and you said to your husband-to-be, please stop the car. You got out and you said to him, this is the biggest miracle. You're back from the dead. You're resurrected from the grave. Isn't that what you said to me earlier? Okay.
Yeah.
And do you want to give me a sense? He was still in love with you, wasn't he, Eileen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And did you told him you were getting married in 72 hours?
Within a couple of days, yes, I was getting married. Okay.
And what did he say?
What did he say? He said it should be you and me.
Okay. We'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Marie, what was it like hearing that song for your mother?
Well, that was very apt, wasn't it?
You were very what, sorry?
I said that was very apt.
Very apt, yeah. It's very sad as well, isn't it? Because on the one hand, we have such sunshine in the programme, which is your mother and her story. Your mother and her personality and everything. And then the tinges of sadness are that whole dilemma and regret. And as she says, torn between two lovers. Valerie Bourne. Valerie, good afternoon. You're in Kilkenny. You're listening to Eileen and Aisling and Sergey and Marie.
Hi, Joe.
And the missing cattle driver.
How are you doing?
What do you want to say to Eileen?
Oh, I just hope she finds her sweetheart. Yeah. I've been here listening to the show for the last hour with a big grin on my face. It's just amazing. Just what the country needs at the moment. Just something more uplifting. It's fabulous. I hope she finds her sweetheart.
Everyone does, I think.
Oh.
But isn't she so beautiful about her husband as well? Like,
absolutely.
Valerie, that line, I would have walked down the aisle with the two of them.
With the two of them, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I hope it works out for her.
Okay, Valerie, you're very kind.
Marvellous. Keep it up, George. Fabulous.
Valerie in Kilkenny, thanks, Valerie. Cormac Farrell is in Trim in County Meath. What do you want to say to Eileen, Cormac?
Joe, to be perfectly honest, I wanted to say to you, exactly as the previous caller said, it was very enlightening today, Joe. In the climate we're in, it was a fabulous show. You could have cut that woman off after 5 minutes, but you ran it as professional as you do, but it made great listening. Now, well done. And to Eileen, a lot of people suffered the same as she did, but they wouldn't have remembered it 50 or 60 years later, and it's great credit to that woman.
Yeah, really is. Really. And it's great credit the language that she has in terms of describing. There's no hurt perpetrated by Eileen.
Whatsoever. Yeah. Well, she comes from the county of the great intellects, John B. Keane and so on.
Yeah,
and she obviously has picked up all his gifts.
Okay. Cormac, you mind yourself, and Valerie as well. So Eileen, what do we do next? Somebody I see suggested it, probably a therapist, said, would you, even though you don't know where he is, if you wrote him a letter, you can't post it because you don't know where he lives, but in many ways what you've said today is the letter, isn't it?
It is the letter.
Yeah.
There is somebody out there that must know him and that he told his daughter to. There's got to be, he must have told somebody what this cattle dealer done to him.
Yeah. Okay. Eileen, look after yourself.
And I hope somebody will.
Yeah. A lot of people have fallen in love with you today, Eileen. Including me.
Including you, Joe.
Including me, Eileen. God bless you, Petal.
I just want him, that's it.
I know.
All I want.
Bye.
He still might get back to me.
Yeah, you will.
You have my phone number, so.
I have. He's breaking all the rules. I couldn't really blame you if you turned and walked away. But with everything. Mark McGrath's on Sound, Maeve Mooney's the BCO, Niamh Dunn is on research. And today's programme was not just produced by the series producer, Rebecca Meehan, it's produced by Rebecca Meehan and Eileen. Back on Monday, 1:45 for the week of St. Patrick's Day, and Ray Darcy is next.